Ed Meese is the Ronald Reagan Distinguished Fellow in Public Policy and Chairman of the Center of Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, as well as the Distinguished Visiting Fellow at the Hoover Institute. Before serving as U.S. Attorney General and Counselor to the President in the Reagan administration, Mr. Meese was a professor of law at the University of San Diego and Chief of Staff to Governor Reagan. Ed?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. At the outset, let me point out to Ellis that San Diego, where I was a professor, is at least 500 miles removed from San Francisco. I want you to know. We've had some very interesting presentations this morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about the fact that conservatism, for me, is the quest for freedom, and look at it in a little different way. In looking at the question of where in the world are we going, I'd like to look at the we in that statement. Others have talked about the United States' role in the world, and I'd like to look through the other end of the telescope. As we work with, assist, and engage with the rest of the world, I would suggest that we need to pay attention to the importance of American sovereignty and our own political institutions. I have a real concern about what we might call the internationalization of domestic policy. Let me give you a few examples. This last week, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in a very important case that didn't get too much attention. It had to do whether the International Convention on Consular Services, a convention most of you have probably not studied, whether that conferred an independent right of action on a criminal defendant and would be used to overturn the conviction of a murderer in Virginia. There was no question as to guilt, no question as to a fair trial. Instead, the question was whether this international convention could be used to provide a loophole to overturn this conviction. Treaties normally in the past, over many centuries of history, have defined the relationships between nations. In this case, a treaty is being used or attempted to be used in order to overturn the full panoply of our criminal justice procedures in order to turn loose a person who has been convicted of one of our more serious crimes. A second example, and that is the contention of many in international circles, that the United Nations somehow has power through its numerous and growing number of organizations to intervene in the domestic affairs of nations, such as to provide environmental regulations and other similar types of regulations that would have to do with affecting how people operate and how their governments operate within the boundaries of individual nations. We talk about limited government, and certainly that was one of the themes that Klaus just discussed in our own country. But I think we have to be equally careful to resist that new structures of government called international and for supposedly beneficial purposes, such as the Law of the Sea Treaty or the International Criminal Court Treaty, are being imposed in a way that would operate as super governments without having any of the safeguards that we have in our own Constitution. We have to remember when we talk about the founders that there was an extreme concern about the oppression of government, having just gone through the period under George III and his minions in terms of government taking away the consent of the governed and oppressing the rights of the people. Third, there's an increasing tendency, as many of you know, of the Supreme Court and some of its justices to utilize the laws, the case decisions, and the other legal positions of foreign countries in order to interpret the United States Constitution, as ridiculous as that might sound on its face. Indeed, why do they do this? Why do they look to Zimbabwe or India or some other far-flung place for legal precedents to bolster their decisions? It's because they can't find any precedent or basis for those decisions in our own jurisprudence, and instead are using these foreign sources of law to bolster their own idiosyncratic opinions. It reminds one a little bit of the old story about the drunk leaning against the lamppost. He was more in seeking support rather than light. Now, using foreign examples may be appropriate and foreign lessons learned for policymakers. But as we know, policy should be made by popularly elected legislators and not by unelected judges of the Supreme Court. Foreign law, other than perhaps the common law of England prior to 1787, has absolutely no place in the interpretation of the United States Constitution and has no relevance to it whatsoever. Now, I'm not this morning calling for isolationism or the rejection of international cooperation or the end of diplomatic relations or the withdrawal of the participation of the United States in world affairs. But I am saying that we have to be very careful to maintain the political liberty of our people by guarding against the erosion of our democratic capability to preserve a government that does represent indeed the consent of the governed. How can we change this inappropriate use of foreign and international conventions as a means of governing the people of the United States without the intervention of our own popularly elected branches? Well, for one thing, the executive branch has to be very careful in the negotiation of treaties to make sure that they expressly require, if they are to be implemented within our bounds and affect our local institutions and our state governments, requires a separate consideration and implementation by our own elected representatives, the Senate and the House of Representatives. Secondly, the Senate has a duty in its ratifying of treaties to make sure, likewise, that they do not by themselves be self-executing to the point which they impose new burdens and obligations upon our people, as opposed to their defining the relationship between governments. And where necessary to, as a part of the ratification, make the necessary reservations. That's foreign policy speak for our exceptions to these treaties, to be sure that they do in fact carry out the principle I mentioned. And finally, I think that Congress, which has under the Constitution the responsibility and the authority to make rules for the operations of the courts, should clearly state that the Supreme Court cannot utilize foreign law as the basis for interpretation of the United States Constitution. The United States can and should continue to be an altruistic, generous, and constructive player on the international scene. But we must do that in a way where we do not lose the essential political power of our own people that is necessary to keep the citizens of the United States safe and free. Thank you.